Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. You all are going to Proverbs 29:18, and I'm going to read Hosea 4:6. It says, my people are destroyed because they don't know me. Or we would say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what scripture you understand. Tonight I want to talk to you about revelation. And Proverbs 29:18, what we're looking at right now, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the word. Amen. Or who keeps the law, it says for us, we'd understand it better. He keeps the word. That keeps the word. So, church, it is the nature of revelation. The very nature of revelation is that it opens up new realms of living. Revelation will get you to new places. I think it's real easy to see that, real easy. Those of us that came from other backgrounds, it's real easy to get stuck in all kinds of muck and junk. But when you start getting revelation, you'll come out of all that muck and junk, all that religious junk, all those God will teach you a lesson stuff, and then whatever else, you know, comes along with that, all sorts of things. When you begin to get revelation, you move into places, and it opens up possibilities of faith. You can use your faith in places when you begin to get some revelation. One of the things you got revelation on that changed your life was your identity. When you began to know that you were the righteousness in God in Christ Jesus, it changed your life. You began to know that God was good, it changed your life. You began to know that when you were baptized with the Holy Ghost, things are different, then it changed your life. All these things changed your life, and we could talk about so much more. So it's absolutely impossible to live a normal Christian life without revelation. You had to have a revelation to get born again. If you believe Jesus is alive and the tomb is empty, that's a revelation. Because most of you haven't been to that tomb. Well, some of you have. How many have been to the tomb? Okay, so some of us have. But you will eventually go. But in your heart, you know it's empty. Yeah. You know he's not there. You know that he's alive. That's revelation right there. Amen. So, the Bible didn't say my people perish for lack of miracles. Didn't say for lack of money. Didn't say for because of bad relationships or bad worship leaders or insufficient nursery staff. It says that people perish for lack of revelation. And here's a good translation. Without a prophetic revelation, the people go unrestrained, walking in circles, having no certain destiny. People just walking in circles, not knowing what to do. The King James says, once again, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that word vision there, it's not goals. A lot of people use that. Where there's no vision, people perish. Meaning, if you don't set your goals, you won't get anywhere. It's not really the definition there. Goals are fine, but the vision, this vision is referring to the spirit of revelation that comes upon you. What do I mean? Well, I mean that it's giving you a view of things unseen. Revelation will give you a view of things that are unseen. This is something that we must have. We must see heavenly things. This isn't like taking a vitamin pill and where you can say yes or no to it. You know, well, I might take the vitamin C, I might not. You have to have revelation to walk out the Christian walk. It's essential. So it expands our capacity to see life from God's perspective. You can't see how God sees things if you don't have revelation. In fact, that's what it is. It's seeing through the eyes of God. It's understanding these verses. I know if we took a poll today, and we talked about the Bible, there's just about every person in here could say, what I thought I understood, I did not understand until I got further in my Christian walk. Until it was made plain to me by revelation, I didn't understand. Some people grew up, me for one, with this thing of, everything passed away when the apostles passed away. So there's no more gifts of the Spirit or any of that stuff. But that's not what the Bible said. It didn't really say that, but some denomination didn't want to have wildfire in their church. They didn't want to have the Spirit move of the Spirit. So they just went ahead and did away with it and made it their own doctrine. They made the Bible say what they wanted it to say. And we can't do that. We need to make the Bible our final authority. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have some revelation, because obviously you've had some, because the scripture says, tell the women to be silent in church. Maybe you went ahead and found out what that really meant. It wasn't talking about the one up speaking. It was talking about don't be talking in your husband's ear when things are trying to hear. Because though in that culture, church, the women hadn't gotten to sit in there. And now here they are going to church and they're excited. Doesn't have anything to do with the anointed ones. But see, that's it. That's immediately, oh my goodness. But once you got revelation, you were like, well, that was silly thinking. Once you really, but you have to dig into the scriptures. You can't just look at King James. If he didn't like the way you translated it, he'd cut your head off. You got to go in there and look for something. I know that's cold, but it's just the truth. I mean, he wanted things laid out in a certain way. Not to say that what there isn't, there's great covenant in the King James. You can see it. It's good. It's good. But their way, he always said the Lord did this. The Lord made this happen. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. When really, when you go look at the translation, he did these things and Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But you, if you don't go, you know, that's where people start saying, the Bible. The Bible, it says one thing and then it says another. It contradicts itself. It doesn't contradict itself. Contradict itself. It says exactly what it means, but you're going to have to go in there and get some revelation. You're going to have to get some translation. So revelation is essential, and it's going to expand our capacity. And we need to see our present circumstance or our situation through God's eyes and not our eyes through man's eyes, or we're always going to have the wrong view. I mean, don't we know that right now, Paula? I mean, we know that by what we've seen. There's all sorts of views right now. There's all sorts of views about what people think are going on in this world. Lots of them. But you got to go with what the Bible says, the revelation that you have from the Word of God. So that's what we need. Now, because if you don't, church, you're going to spiritually suffer. You're going to go, well, you know, I don't know why this is happening. Why? That isn't even supposed to be a question at any time. It's supposed to be, okay, Lord, how are we going to get out of here? You know, or how's this going to change? Amen. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Be mindful of things above, not on things on this earth. Now, this verse is telling us to seek those things above. What things above? What? Revelation. Seek things above. Seek things that are in the unseen world. Certainly, the anointing, the gifts, the fruits are above. But you can't even seek them if you don't have any revelation. People don't even know what the fruits of the Spirit are. It's amazing to hear people talk about, well, I prayed and I asked God for patience, and I know one of these days he's going to give me some. So why don't you get a revelation of the fruits of the Spirit? They're forces. A fruit comes out in a force. Those peaches on my peach trees, they're coming out because they're forced out. There's sap coming up in those trees, and they're coming out in a force. That's the way patience is. Patience is a force that you employ. It's a consistent way of living. You don't change what you think just because somebody says something or does something or something happens. You stay the same. But you can't get that if you don't have any revelation. Amen. You just stay in your little box, and we're not staying in our little box. Amen. People who see into the unseen actually have an advantage over everyone else who would desire a place of significance. Mm-hmm. Some people, that's all they want. They just want to feel significant. But your real advantage is not just being up where someone thinks you're significant. Your real advantage is seen from God's perspective. Because then you can see everything. You know where you're going. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus. We'll be mindful of those things. When we live conscious of heaven and we live conscious of eternity, it changes the way we live, and it radically increases our measure of impact on society. You start living from heaven. You're like, well, you know, people think I'm crazy. They won't always think you're crazy. They think we're crazy. They talk about us. They do everything. But you know what? They call us. They call us when it's prayer time. Can you get them to pray? Well, we don't really like them, but well, could you get them to pray? Mm-hmm. But y'all going over there for? Yeah, but we know that y'all pray. Yeah, you're right. From a place of authority. Aren't you glad you have that revelation? Because there's a lot of people walking around today that don't understand the authority of the believer. That God actually put authority in you. Exousia.
Yes,
he put that in you. So it's not just dunamis. You have exousia. You have authority. You have habitational authority all around you. And you can command just like a king can command. Glory to God. Awareness of unseen things is a vital aspect of the Christian life, church. It's a vital aspect. The abundant life is in the unseen world, is it? It is. The display of his dominion through miracles and various supernatural expressions, they're all rooted in a heavenly world. Everything's coming to us from the heavenly world. We have to access his to change this one. You have to encounter heaven to change this earth. You have to make some contact. And the way you're going to make that contact is revelation. Certainly worship, but hey, do you realize you can't even get there with worship if you don't have a revelation of what worship is? It's not getting up there singing some songs and hoping they play one you like. That's not worship. Worship is when you're lifting him up and yeah. Hey, I just thought about Brother Jim Hester, man of God, who's Pastor John's pastor. When he was a little kid, he'd go to the Baptist church, and then when it was over, his mom would let him run on down to the glory barn. It was way more professional at the first church, but at the Glory Barn, there was a lady in there, and she, how many strings were on that guitar? Four? Three or four?
Two or three.
So she could tune those two strings, and they'd get in there, and that building would get to shaking, and they'd sing, "The good Lord will provide, the good Lord will provide. Things may seem impossible, but the good Lord will provide." And I mean, and they all loved that, and the glory of the Lord would fall.
Yeah.
Now, why? Because you probably thought, man, you know, no, it's they were lifted up. They had a revelation that his presence would come when they sang about him, when they lifted him up, when they made sound toward him. Amen. It's a whole different realm. Did you know that it's a proven fact that churches that sing introspective songs about themselves, you want me to tell you something about that? Their offerings go down. It's a proven fact. They start singing soul songs about, well, I'm going through the storm. You'll be here through the storm. And we're so naked and blind and miserable, but you're for us and all that. The offerings will go down. That's why ours never go down. I don't care how cute they sound. I don't care. I love the key of David. Praise the Lord. And I love people. I'm glad if they play well. That's a blessing. But I'm really glad if they worship. And that worship is, which is going to be our, going to start our next series. But, you have to have revelation of that. You have to have some revelation of what worship really is. Or you just get up there, I'm on the worship team and we're going to play well. That's not worship. Worship is when you lift up God. You lift up Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You know, changing the course of this world is our assignment. That's our assignment right now. And we've gone just about as far as we can go with what we presently know. We need signs to get us where we're going. And signs are realities that point to greater realities. An exit sign is real, but it points to a greater reality, the exit. Mm-hmm. We don't need signs when we travel familiar roads. We can make it here every time. But we need signs when we're going somewhere new. We do. Somewhere where we've never been before. You're going to have those signs. Some kind of GPS, something with signs on it. Amen. So if we're going to go where we're never going to go before, we're going to have them. To go any further, we're going to have to hear from God anew. Can't just be in a repetitive thing. Yeah, sure, we come in here. Sure, we worship. Sure, we sit down. But every time has to be fresh where we're moving forward. We can't just be sitting still. We have to be moving forward, particularly in this time, in this season. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The key is staying current with the shifting seasons of God. That's the spirit of revelation. Where you stay in it. The Apostle Paul understood that when he actually prayed for the Ephesians. If you recall in Ephesians 1:17, you remember what he prayed? The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know the hope of his calling, you may understand, you know, the whole thing. Praise the Lord. It talks about a spirit of revelation. It goes over into the next chapter and talks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Remember that? And he's praying this prayer. It's so interesting to actually think about that because the church at Ephesus was the most significant church in the Bible. And they did so much good. They confronted the occult. They had some of the greatest New Testament miracles that ever happened. They were the only church to get a letter with no correction. You ever think about that? Paul gave some of the greatest revelation in the Bible to them. He talked to them about spiritual warfare, fivefold ministry, the nature and function of the church, husbands and wife, Christ in the church. So this was a victorious body of believers. So what do you give somebody that has everything? You give them a prayer for the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened, that they get more revelation, that they can go further. That's what you give them so they can move forward. Amen. And the insight to know what to do with what you learn. And that's called wisdom. I've got this now. What do I do with it? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Church, even a church revival known for great teaching and citywide impact needs more revelation. It's not enough to say the Spirit of God is welcome in here and he can do as he pleases. That's what we say, but it's not enough. We have to go further. It's not enough. And a church is not revival just because it's gaining people. Lots of people could gain people because lots of people are looking for that certain comfortable place. They're not always looking for the place that says, if you don't grow, you might as well go. They're looking for just, you know, I can slip in, I can slip out, nobody will notice. So gaining people isn't it, but doing what Holy Spirit says is a revival. When you do what Holy Spirit says, you're moving in revival. You're moving into awakening. Allow the Holy Spirit to show us where he wants us to go. Just a few weeks ago, we were clearing off snow off of our sidewalk. We were all talking about Snowmageddon. It was just a few weeks ago. And now today, we're watching the birds sing. We're looking at the green grass. The butterflies are pollinating. Here comes the bees. All of the fruits and vegetables are growing in the garden. We're all mowing. Everything's different. Everything's beautiful. It's a different season. Things have already changed. It's already so different. Things look vastly different in different seasons. They look vastly different. So why do we need revelation? Because what I know will help me. What I think I know will hurt me. See, it's the spirit of revelation that helps me know the difference. Helps me recognize and know the difference. The prophets warned us about what would happen to people who did not increase in knowledge through revelation. They warned us about that. And man, I'm having some things to say in a minute to you. All knowledge is useful, but it can be general. It could just be general things. Okay? But when God releases revelation, it releases knowledge that enables us to address specific issues at crucial moments. And that's often the difference between life and death.
Yeah.
It can be said that we thrive with revelation knowledge, but we perish without it. It's exactly what we've been talking about, what those scriptures meant. And I'll just give you some revelation right now. This is a hugely different season. This is not like any other time on earth. And I pray that you will become aware of where you are. You become situationally aware of where you are. And you become aware of where the ecclesia is in this day and what's really going on in the world. Because this is a different season. And it is not a season of loss. And it is not, they call it perilous times, but I'm telling you, the lights are on in Goshen. I'm telling you, this is a time when we can go and get it, gather in. This is that time. We have to rise up in our faith and obtain what we need to move forward in the things of God right now. We have to do that, church. We have to move forward. We have to dress differently for this season. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same old thing. This is a Kairos. You're not going to be able to just live in your Kronos sequence of we did this, we did that, and every year we did this, and we did this one, and then we did this, and we came around, and we did. It's not the same anymore. Schedules change. People change. Events change. You know, I mean, we could mark it down. Okay, the first thing we do every year is we do the Children's Day, and then we do Easter, and then we do that, and then we do this, and then we do that, and it just went on out, and then we go out to Raton, and then we go do the next thing, and then we do Kufi, and then we do the... Things are going to be different. Are we still going to do some of those? Certainly we will. But I'm telling you, they'll be on a different level.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some things we won't do.
Yeah.
But we will do what the Holy Ghost calls us to do. And it's going to be a different season. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a different season for you if you're paying any attention. You're like, well, I know what's going on, but I'm going to go over here and just live my life. Listen, you're not going to just be able to sit around and just protect your stuff. No? Y'all just go ahead. I'll be over here. It's not going to work like that. It's not going to be like that. Every man on board. Everybody saying what they believe is the truth. The ecclesia doesn't mean the church body who's sitting over here separate from the world. The ecclesia means a governing body. We are supposed to be releasing the kingdom of God into this atmosphere every day of our lives. And we can do that by praying and saying and declaring who we are and making decisions according to that. It's the truth. We're called to a higher place, church. We'll dress differently. We're going to look differently. This is a time when crazy things are happening. Now there's a petition going around wanting the prophets to apologize and recant what they said because President Trump's not sitting in the White House right now. I'm telling you right now, that's a dangerous thing.
Yes, it is.
That is a dangerous thing to come against the prophets.
Amen.
It's not over.
That is right.
Well, but they, listen, you got, if you believe that, you better go pray because you're on the wrong trail.
Amen.
The worst thing you could do is start turning against the prophets.
Amen.
Well, but they were wrong. We'll see, won't we? Maybe some have said some things. But I'm telling you, basically all those that said all the same things are still on the right track. Yeah, but I don't know. See, you're trying to figure that out in your little mind. I'm talking about revelation. I'm talking about God has a much bigger picture than you do. He knows the timing. He knows what's going on. And he's not on your schedule. We need to be on his. And he's got it figured out. And he didn't have all those thousands of prophets say the same thing years ago when they didn't even know who President Trump was.
Yeah.
They didn't know who he was. A guy from New York. Well, no. They didn't know who he was. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing. Go up, oh bald head. The she-bear came. The prophets are covered.
Yes, they are.
The prophets are covered. Stay on track. Church, I'm telling you, the greatest days of our life are right now. They're right now. This is the best life ever. You're going to shine like salt and light. Your life is great. Think about that you care enough to come back on Sunday afternoon to learn what the Constitution said. If you've got that in you, you can count yourself blessed. You care about doing things like that? Well, I just want to be spiritual. I'll just come to the spiritual things. Give me a break. That is spiritual.
Yeah, it is.
You need to know. Our children don't need to be taught lies. They don't need to be taught some false history.
Right. Yeah. That is true.
They need to know the truth.
Yeah.
And we don't need to be saying, if we would just, let's just do. Let's all just stand up. And we are.
Yeah.
So, well, the church just, they've just, no. Let's just move on. Let's just move on to who we really are. There are so many things to do in this awakening. People are getting healed of things. People are getting delivered of things. People are prospering. Many ministries have had their best year in 2020.
Yeah.
Well, we have to stand up and say who we are. And I'm just not talking about political things. I'm talking about the body of Christ rising up, being who we are, as in spirit-filled Christians.
Yes.
Well, you know, we don't want to speak in tongues because that might run some people off. Well, we might have to look at the Bible about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you'd probably have a whole lot more people if you had a gentleman. Well, you might have to do a whole lot better if you just would hold back and not let those people do a run or whatever. I will tell you right now that it is the Pentecostal, not Pentecostal religion, but it is the charismatic people that are in that riverbed right now.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are going to see the signs, the wonders, and the miracles because they're the ones that believe in the signs and wonders and miracles. They're the ones who know how to tap the glory by praying in the Spirit, and everybody else is going to start doing it too. See, you're already qualified. The religious people already don't like you. They love you, but they don't like what you do. And the world hates you. And there's a piece of the world that really hates you. But you love them. And you'll move forward with them. And if you're persecuted, just hop up and spin around and rejoice.
That's right. That's what it says to do.
That's your hundredfold return right there. Great is your reward. That's exactly right. These are different times, church. You're going to have to say, this is who I am. I am a spirit-filled Christian. I am a word of faith Christian. My Father, and just for all of you out there, come here. I'm a spirit-filled Christian. I've been a pastor for 20-something years. My spiritual father is Kenneth Copeland. I'm a word of faith preacher, and I believe that I'm on the right path. I believe in all the other tribes. I'm for them. I love them. But this is who I am, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it.
That's right.
And I am the righteousness of God, and I am a person who believes to the right, and I'm not ashamed of that either.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
And I have a right in this nation to be that person. And so do you. Yes, but if we just tiptoed a little, there's no room for that anymore. There's just no room. You're either going to believe the Constitution and the Bible. The Bible and then the Constitution, which the Constitution was written from the Bible. So I just wanted you to know that, those of you that watch out there, in case you want to say something about that, you just go ahead and know it. Or could you remember, church, when we first started, it was kind of like, okay, man, we got 8 people. I don't know if I want to tell everybody where I come from. Because, you know, you're thinking that. Man, I got over that real quick. So I would just tell them when new people came in, we're a spirit-filled church. We are word and faith people. We believe in prosperity. We are partners with the Copelands. The Victory Channel is a big deal to us.
Yeah.
We're charismatics, and we believe in women preachers. And we believe that God is good, yeah, and the enemy's a liar,
yeah,
and we believe in worshiping the one true Jehovah God.
Yeah.
We believe that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe that being baptized in the Holy Ghost will change your life forever.
Yes.
We believe in being planted in a church,
yeah,
and growing up in the church that's your home church, and enjoying that church.
Yeah.
That's what we believe in.
Amen.
Because if you're rooted, you'll grow. And anything my Heavenly Father didn't plant is rooted out.
Amen.
I guess this was a stand up for Jesus tonight.
Amen.
We just need to arise, church. We need to arise in our spirits. We need to know how to pray. Do you realize what revelation you have about prayer? Do you really realize who raised you up? Oh yeah, it was another woman, Miss Billy. Raised us up in our prayer, taught us how to pray, got all the prayers together, thousands of people together, and taught us how to pray in the Spirit. Good stuff. Miss Lynn Hammond taught us how to pray through, raised by people who could really see the other side, the Halversons. Remember the Halversons, Debbie Clark? You remember them? They could see, they were praying stuff, and they could see stuff in the Spirit. Remember when Brother Halverson kept praying for Cookie and Candy? And he thought he was cuckoo. Why am I praying for Cookie and Candy? Well, that was Brother Hagin's grandchildren.
Yeah.
Their names were Cookie and Candy. Interesting. Hey, Chip and Candace, they're Chip and Candy, God's a little concession stand.
Yeah.
They were on TV last night, and Chip said the most amazing thing. I was watching him, and he said, "Fear is forgetting God." It's just, we need to remember, fear is forgetting God. If God is in the mix, that's why we need revelation. See, what did y'all just do then? Oh, yeah. It's revelation. It just was put in another way for you. Fear is forgetting God. When you start getting fearful, you're just forgetting God. And I'm telling you, you can sit with people and they can talk you down in about 3 minutes. Yeah, well, you're like, man, I wish I'd never sat down here. But then you remember God. And you think about what He's done and what He will do. And I'm going to tell you this now before we close here, and I want to say it before our folks leave us out there. God is not finished with America. We are not China. We're not going to be the underground church. We are going to be the above ground church. Everybody's going to see. Everybody's going to know, because that's what America is about. We chose God, and God made us the greatest nation on earth. He made us this great nation, and we have carried the gospel all over the world. Every denomination, people that know what we know, people that know more than we know, don't care about which denomination you are or whatever. You know Jesus, you're preaching Jesus, great. Amen. But the truth is, we need to all, wherever we are, go further in Revelation, and we need to understand. We need to understand this reign. We need to understand that this is the great awakening. This is it. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It is exciting. It's exciting. This is the time. Well, I haven't lived out my life. You don't understand heaven, baby. Church will be way better. I mean, you talk about being able to jump up and spin around. Everything is greater in heaven. It'll be a little while before we go, but we're going to go strong. And when we go, it's going to be the glory of God. Do you know you're called the glorified ones? Yeah. The people in the future, you know, after we leave here, there's going to be people still being born and life going on and everything. And they're going to see us and go, there's one of the glorified ones. That's a glorified one. They were in that great parentheses of grace. Glorified ones. We're just going to have to go as deep as we can go. And those of you watching, if you can't catch all this, I'm just challenging you. You go and find out for yourself. But if you hang around this long enough, you're going to get wet. You're going to get in. You're going to know this is the truth. If you can't tell that this is a different season, I mean, your wood's got to be wet. I mean, this is just a difference, isn't it? And you can tell spiritually, you can tell when you wake up in the morning that this is a different time. And God is just nudging you and moving on you. So if life is just, oh, every day, not Dale, but you know. Ho hum. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
It is adventure. And it's going to get greater.